Welcome back. Caller, are you there? The taxi
I'm here,
guy?
yeah.
Okay, well, I just want to read this for you. Joanne, the taxi operators are members of an association, and the head of those associations should be speaking on behalf, not this person who may seem to have, in their opinion, a political agenda. And then they also went on to say that if there's one group of workers in this country that you can never please, our taxi operators, everyone is here trying to make a dollar, not only taxi operators. I'm just reading out what some of the feedback here is on the WhatsApp pertaining to your contribution. In other words, I don't know if you wish to respond.
Hello?
Yes. Oh, he's gone? My apologies.
I'm talking with the Ethics and Water Authority.
My apologies. Go ahead.
So I'm going to say to you that this whole situation is something that is island-wide.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, excuse me, rather than go to St. Lucie or St. Philip.
Sorry, hold on a second. Let me just think here. I'm actually apologizing again to you because, I mean, I had a senior moment there just now. My last caller, and I do apologize because we were discussing water, so continue.
That's okay. We all do that sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I will say that this is something that's island-wide. Whether it be in Phillips and Lucy, wherever, they have this thing of doing repairs. And you know what puzzles me?
Mm-hmm.
That the equipment that they use, mostly a front end loader and a backhoe, that can easily refill and then grade. I mean, it's just a matter of taking a little time and having it done properly. And it puzzles me why these workers do it the way they do it. And this, for a long time, I've been asking this question, called the programs, mm-hmm. as to why. No, it goes back to, is it in-house training? Hello?
But pertaining to what exactly?
To repairs.
To repairs? On the ground, for the BWA, are we talking about pipes or are we talking about roads? Because they don't major in roads, huh? Repair. Mm. Let me just be very clear. Mm. They don't. And normally they would contract, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know what happens now. Or they would use the MTW, who would know about roads. As far as pipes are concerned, you hire laborers, you hire plumbers. You have plumbers for smaller pipes, like the services. And then you have people who deal with the mains. One would think that there's some level of training on the ground. And they don't do it in a room, to the best of my knowledge. And laborers are laborers because they dig the tracks, etc. But of course, you then have to hire qualified plumbers. So there's no training per se, because I would like to think that when you come in or you go into the BWA, that you have your certificate in plumbing. Laborers then can learn, but they're not really supposed to sort of interfere with certain things belonging to the BWA and the customer if they're not qualified.
Take a pain. Mm-hmm. And I am saying to you, mm-hmm. I'm not even looking at the pipe repairs. I'm looking at the road repairs. All right, if you say to you...
Oh, no. They don't major in road repairs.
All right, okay, they don't major. But mm-hmm. let me ask you a simple question now. If you had a hole around your house, what would you do?
If I had I would cover it because I don't know how to repair it.
What would you do? Make sure that you cover it as level, right?
Yeah, you would secure it. And
you don't have to have knowledge in road repairs. You have to know when you do a job that you can put the material back in and have it leveled properly.
Correct.
I understand road repairs, you want to bring an MTW, a Cole Williams, somebody else to do Barbara Green and that kind of stuff. But common sense approach is to have it leveled. You don't have to do the things that they do. I don't want to dwell on that topic because that's a common sense thing.
Sir, if it was common, sir, we would all have it. Let's just refer to it as applied sense.
No. And this is something that's ongoing with all the water authority, MTW workers, ACC workers, and most of them have this callous, lackadaisical this approach about work, and it wants training.
But why do you think that? Why? Anybody could say why they think that you have that approach where it's like, well, I don't care.
But I'll give you a little scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that the upper managers, supervisors, are not probably doing what they're supposed to do, one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if, for argument's sake, and I said it's the worker once, you're going to get on the way you're getting on, no, because you don't own a business. But the minute you own a business, you see your attitude will change. You know, his mother left and went to the States and won lotto. Sent back some money, he started the same business. And he said to me one day after, "Well, you, I know, understand me the thing." I said, "You see, because yours now." It's yours now, so you know what to do. You see? Mm-hmm. So you want to know the best of everything. The way you were working for me, it was a different ball game. You did it anyhow. And you can't do it anyhow with me. Because I had a brother work with me once, and on a site, construction site, and he went to drop, he took out a sweetie to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Went to drop the pail, he saw me put the pail back in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because just as a matter of fact, a sweetie paper for me is garbage. Where would you want to drop it? Would you drop it in your front house? In your living room? Mm-hmm. No. Where do you want to drop it here? Then there's facilities for that. And there's the problem, because there's another set of workers, construction workers, that you go on a construction site, you see nails and wood and debris and this and that, and you've been in a house with somebody, $600,000 to do. Anyway, order scab, that's what they got to go to. Can't work with me. Will never work with me.
Mm.
You see? And that's the problem we got. We don't take pride in what we are doing. Now, I want to go on quickly on
But before you go on, yeah. I just wanted to throw in my two cents pertaining to maybe what could be happening with workers on the ground, the ones that work outside. You know, there's really no supervision or accountability, really, based on what I've seen over the years. So you're given a job to do, you get a job card, and no one goes and checks to see if it was repaired. And then, in this case, the Water Authority, because most people are talking about that right now. And they go back inside and no one asks if the job was done. So if it is that it's not reissued the next day, it can easily fall through the cracks. Similarly, the Water Authority would put out notices about berths completed. So if they have six berths, you'll see one or two completed, but you don't see anything on the other ones. So you don't see it getting brought forward now for the next day so that people can know that what you put out there may not have been repaired, but it was brought forward. So sometimes you don't even know what happened to it until 2 months later, you hear about the same problem. So it seems to be a problem with managing, tracking, and holding people accountable, where if you have been given a job, who comes out there and inspects the job? If there's a ditch in the road and it has to be repaired, who comes out in the evening to sign off? Who comes off in the afternoon or the early morning to sign off on the repair work? That is what is missing, together with the link between the call center of the Barbados Water Authority and the people who have to do the work. So there seems to be a disconnect between the two entities, because you will call 10 times, as people will say, And if the information went to the relevant people, or it went to the relevant people, but what I just explained was not in place, the accountability, you can see where it can fall through the cracks. You know,
well, that's a very poor way of operating, I must say.
Well,
because
it
you should have in your way your clerical department, one, two, mm-hmm. inspection department, whereby they kind of collaborate with one another to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And when things like that happen, well, you understand all the confusion. Mm-hmm.
But they should see reduction, I believe. I don't know if Barbadians are saying it, but Water Authority, I believe, has something called a critical team now. So hopefully now that they're listening, in particular with that issue with the retrench, I'm not sure if the critical team pertains to water loss or trenches as well. But they do have a critical team that now, if something is reported, they will repair immediately.
Yeah. Another mm-hmm. situation is where you have MPW workers, and they're doing roads, they're doing bridges, and the length of time. So you might be right there where they don't have the inspection team in place to come out and check. But I know they have a supervisor. So that's the kind of things we have to tolerate in this country.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have no bias thing. Now, quickly on the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
and a very quick. Lots of people are saying that they're scared, they're panicky, this and that. No. In the news, it would say that this is a new strain of the coronavirus. But that is what is making it so devastating. Because coronavirus was along, just like SARS and the virus and the other diseases like cholera, bubonic plague, and all them things, right? We had the Ebola break, all them things. But what is concerning now is that there's a new strain of the coronavirus. Just like I had the HIV virus, and I had different strains of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get a new strain, then you got to go back to the drawing board. and there's really problem, like.
The problem isn't fair, sir. And fair. People normally, if you don't know, it creates fear. So the mere fact that people are still trying to figure out what this is, that's where the fear is lying, because you don't know. Normally, if you understand what is happening, I mean, for example, I've seen some statistics here where I will share. This is from China's National Health Commission. It said here, and this is from today, about 80% of those who died were over the age of 60. 75% had pre-existing conditions such as cardiovascular disease and diabetes, etc. Now, this information, you can go on to credible sources at the World Health Organization or the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control as well. Don't go on to all of the others just to get the whole sensationalization of this thing. This is serious, and we should get the information. However, even though some people hearing that may feel comfort, I'm saying you should still be concerned, because you have mothers, you've got aunts, you've got grandparents. So we need to still exercise caution. We need to be prepared. There's a saying, if you're going to panic, don't prepare. And if you can prepare, don't panic. So we need to be prepared, and we need to get the correct information. However, you can't expect the Ministry of Health to have all of the answers, because the World Health doesn't have all of the answers. However, what we can expect them to do and demand is that they put all of the measures in place to protect us as best as they can.
But you see, when you say correct information, was the correct information given from the start? I think about that.
Well, I don't normally look at certain things, and when people send to me, sometimes I may read, and I know that I get my sources from credible places, agencies. So that's up to the public to decide how they want to take in their information. Last week, I urged Barbadians to please stop sharing fake news, or if they don't know if it's fake, don't share it. Go on credible sites and get the information when it comes to something like this, or listen to the Ministry of Health, and only to the Ministry of Health, who then shares the information with credible media houses. Note, everybody in a credible media house that sticks something on Facebook, credible media houses like Starcom. And even then, sometimes, you know, a media house may get it wrong, so you don't have to, you don't can't swear by anybody. Even the World Health Organization may make an error or two. We just don't want them to. No one is perfect, but
no one is perfect.
But for me, I would bet on getting my info from WHO or the CDC, in connection with this virus. I think, and I would like to reiterate, what we need to be concerned about is follow what the ministry says, and the other thing is to ensure that our government has made and will continue to make the best decisions for its citizens in regard to this virus.
And in closing, just be careful with your hygiene, that's all.
Exactly. Well, thank you for sharing that too with everyone. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. 12:15, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I am well, and you?
75%.
No, okay. Well, that ain't too bad. 25. Yeah. You're good. 75%.
So I've been trying to rejoin the program for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been getting a problem with my phone. So I said I was being puffed off, because that is what I get when I call. Mm-hmm. But right now I haven't turned my radio on. 7 days. Yeah, 7 days is a week. Yes, 7 days. For all the time the government was returned or re-elected, my radio wouldn't even play now. Mm-hmm. So I got to do listening on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really call today to join the program, but since I'm on,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying that I would like to know what is going on all the other times when I couldn't get through on the radio, what's happening to my phone lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying to myself, I don't wish to be around this table of political fiance, It's the same thing all over for years. It's the same subject that comes around with new moderators. I'm surprised to hear you, but I think I heard you twice because I heard you're probably, I was in town or somewhere, mm-hmm. and I heard you, but I don't hear them home, but when I hear them home, mm-hmm. if somebody telling me or not, I pass by somebody's house, it's the same subject. We need to move on from there. 475 years and counting from slavery. We call ourselves Bajos, but yet we depend on our parents from yesteryears, those reaching 100, to do it for us. We can't depend on them to do it for us. What they had to do, it was for our survival. Now we got all, I don't know if we could get any more technology. I mean, something that's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you could get new technology, but I don't know if you could get anything different. But we have it all. So we don't need to sit back in the chair, turn the papers every day, go back to the same thing. We need to move on. Well, I mean, I turned on the radio, was speaking to Mr. It sounded like Mr. The man from the guy from the point. And it's the same thing. And some of these callers, they're stuck on the subject. They go around it in kind of new ways, but it comes out to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm wary of it. And mm-hmm. I don't want to be around that table. Mm-hmm. I will bring my own subject, and I know that some people don't appreciate it, but others do. Most every time I go into town.
Mm-hmm.
And like 6 years I haven't called the program.
Six years?
Almost every day going to town. Oh, Miss Africa, what has happened to you on the program? They puff me off. That's all I can say.
Oh, this puff is Miss Africa. Okay.
Puff me off means buying me. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a friend and you don't want to talk to the friend when they call you, you press out the number, right? You press a digit. But it's not so with my phone. It's something like when the light puff out, I get that puff out. And I get some of them angry. I get some of them angry to answer the phone. It will ring and ring and ring and puff out. And I would redial and it puff out. So I don't know what's going on. I just tell people, they say to ban you. It's a kind of ban. But it's not like what you expect. When you call a friend and you don't want to talk to them and you press out the line. I have to get those things off of my mind before I could come to the program to continue where I off. Where I left off, a voice for the voiceless. That's something like that. I can't rejoin going through that, those seances mm-hmm. every day. I can't do it.
Understood.
And people say, I don't listen to the calling program no more because you're not on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people get something from what I say mm-hmm. and others don't. So I need for them to open up the line like they open up to everybody. I could call anywhere in the world. And if it will reach everyone, I could call.
Mm-hmm.
I know they get through, but not at CBC. Mm-hmm. I mean, not at VOB, so mm-hmm. I don't know. So I was just checking the line to see mm-hmm. if I'm going to get the serum.
But you got through today. You got through today.
Yeah, that's what I say. But I could have hung up. Mm-hmm. But I got through and I stayed because I haven't been getting through.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get through, it seems like I make people angry. Certain people angry. Right?
Well, you know what, Miss Africa? Life is too short. And according to my daughter, when you're vexed, you get back pleased. So hopefully you would continue to share your contributions, and some people, as you said, will like it and some people won't. I sit here in this chair and there's some people that probably tune out when I'm on and some people tune in when I'm on. That's just life. All right. But thank you so much for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Joya.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm one of the people that like to hear Miss Africa.
Okay.
I like to hear her.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what she says goes over people's head.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say something going over somebody's head, you would offend them. But they understand what she'd be saying because they have a similar way of thinking when it comes to blacks and whites.
But if you have a similar way of thinking, why should it offend someone if something goes over their head? In other words...
Because they don't understand.
But you can't be angry for people not understanding. Sometimes there's a lot of things I don't understand. It doesn't make me angry. That is an excuse to be upset.
You might be different. You might be different, Joy. You got things that you say, and when a person don't understand, you say they get offended. That's what you're talking about. Anyway,
okay.
Let me move on. I want to impress upon Miss Africa mm-hmm. to call the program and continue to make her contributions. And she was perfectly correct when she said that when she called the calling program, she's offended somebody and just cut you off in a hurry. She's perfectly correct about that, because it happens to me too. Anyway, let me move on.
Okay.
I heard the taxi man today ranting and raving about the port and the taxis in the port. You know, when these fellas come to this program, they should always speak all two sides of the story. He talking about the government should do this and the government should do that. But the taxi men need to start harassing the people at the gate. Let me tell what I experienced by that gate a morning. Because I used to work in port, and I came out a morning, 7:30. And I had three or four taxi men there standing in a little group. And some people come up, and they all went to the people to solicit some work. And a fellow come from Norway and said, "Man, don't go with India, man. No, don't go with him. This particular fellow was probably getting the job." And he said, "Man, don't go with him. Man, don't go with him." That's the man we want to go with. And like the young people say, I'm breaking the fella beat. That's the kind of behavior. The taxi drivers need to learn behavior. You know, they need to learn behavior. But still on this taxi issue,
mm-hmm.
when there was reconfiguration down there, what I call it jungle, right next to the sea. I call it a jungle. I told them that what it can do is to put three lanes taxis there. The buses and the taxis there. And they will go into the port behind where the gate is, like close to the seaside. They will let down the toilet from there and make their straight road. So when you go down that road, you go straight into the bay to go and get passengers so that you will not interfere with the people coming and going through the main gate.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
I'm with you.
Right. And I told that to all the managers, and he said, "Yeah, I can raise that." But it never happened. And all they had to do, and that would have alleviated the problem that the gentleman was talking about when he talking about the taxis scatter all over the place. Sometimes the taxis go in the area where the workers have to park, and there's no parking for the workers, and the workers compound and park all over the place. And the police know that.
Police doing it.
Taxi drivers park in areas they don't know parking signs available, and the police is coming and say you gotta move from there, and they don't know parking signs. People got to get money to feed a family. So if a fella go and park the car or his van near to the gate, it's because he looking to get the first jobs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had done what I had told them, they wouldn't got this problem today, because instead of that jungle right side of the sea,
mm-hmm.
they would have had two lanes or three lanes right there. Two, preferably two.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of going through the gate to get into entanglement with the traffic going through the main gate, they would have gone around behind the entrance, close to the sea, and they would have gone right down. And when they get down there, they would have been right in the loading bay.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have saved the problem that the taxi drivers are having now. I can understand. I can understand what the fellow is saying. But I also want you to come and I also want you to tell the taxi drivers they've got to be disciplined.
I was wondering when you were going to get to that, because people have to understand that, yes, you understand it. A man needs to make his money. Nobody should take that away from them. But while you're doing
correct.
It, you really can't go and break the law and do as you like. Do you
know
how hard it is for the transport authority to try to get between the taxi drivers, the ZR drivers, the ZM drivers, you know, under control? It is hard. And these guys need to meet them halfway. I mean, I'm not saying that the authority is perfect, nor the taxi drivers. I'm just saying that they need to meet each other halfway. And even with all of these complaints about, oh, we're getting harassed, I can't see how the police can be accused of harassing someone who is parking where they shouldn't park, the police doing their job.
But Miss Haig,
mm-hmm.
if there is no parking signs, or there is no parking signs painted in the road, and somebody going to park there, tell me if it is not, the police not harassing people when they park in these areas. Tell me.
Again, I don't know what or those parking spots or who it was assigned for, and I can't really then speak to that to go and say, well, yes or no. I would like to think, and the police aren't perfect, so please don't message me to say that, but I think that most of us, 99.9% of us, have a lot of respect for the police here in Barbados.
Me too.
And I think for the most part, they try very hard to do their job. Do they get it wrong sometimes where we feel, and they see them pulling over people? Yes. And people will say, well, you know, you go after the criminals. Why are you stopping me to just see my license? But they're doing the job.
Let me say this to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a police used to work in Port many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used to call it Grey Eyes. I had a Grey Eyes or a Cat Eyes. And when people go around there, he used to tell you, can't park there, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then after he left the police force, he went driving taxi in the same port. And when the police then tell you that he can't do things, he get offended.
Oh, that's too funny. When that happens again, you know, I said 99.9. There's a 0.1 out there that a police that, you know, because again, nobody is perfect. You're not going to have 100% in any agency doing everything that is right. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Afternoon.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I just called to make a contribution regarding the disposal of tires and things like this. I'm going to get some flack for it. The average tire in Barbados lasts about 4 years on a vehicle, the average tire. So what I would like to see happen is basically when tires are being changed, that a fee, a disposal fee of $4, which is $1 a year in use of a tire, is put on to the disposal of these tires. They say there are about, well, an average of 8,000 tires a week going to the landfill at $4. That's $32,000 a week. And with this money, I am sure the government would be able to afford a machine to mulch these tires, chip them, and make use of it, whether it be for paving of roads, and they can even go a little further when they're putting down sidewalks to make the sidewalks more comfortable for people to walk on. Instead of building concrete sidewalks all the time, they may be able to build an outer curb and fill the inside there with the quarter mix or mile or whatever, and leave a 3-inch recess, and then top it off with the same rubber and bitumen lay it down to utilize them as well on sidewalk as roads. But my whole point is that I think, I know, whoever wants a credit will have the credit down, but I think after using a tire for 4 years and you're going to pay $4 to dispose of it, I don't think it should be an issue. That way it would create employment as well as help for the maintenance and the cost of the machine that will be shredding these tires.
Well, just looking at some information here about tire recycling, and there's something called the ATR 300. It's a tire recycling machine, and it's sold by a Russian company. So you can actually recycle them. The machine turns old tires into rubber crumb, like you're talking about, crushing it up, and then it's then added to artificial grass, not the actual grass, but artificial lawns, which softens the surface for athletes, etc. So there's a market for it, and there's some other information about what you can do with waste tires. So basically,
go ahead. No, so sidewalks is another venture that they can look at, because we got a lot of sidewalks in this island. A lot of sidewalks are hard, and you know, it'd be easy on the footing for people. We have all our kids that walk on us and they fall on them. It better fall on a rubbery surface than a hard surface at any time.
But this is interesting information here. It can be used as a gravel substitute. Anywhere gravel is used, chances are that tire chips can be used instead. You have crumb rubber. Crumb rubber is finely ground rubber produced from waste, and you can. They have wastewater treatment filters. It can be used garden mulch. There's a whole set of things that
horse stables. In horse stables as bedding, it can be used in dairies or in other animal bedding. Not for chickens, because chickens need an absorbent surface, absorbent type of bedding, but cows. In dairies that have pre-stalled barns, cows can lay down on it. They could also be used in horse stables, as I say. So there are many, many uses.
May I ask, and if you can answer, I don't know if you know, because I'm asking anyone out there, the tires that caught a fire, what actually was the plan for those tires while they're up there, when they sit there? What was the plan? They're exported, they're what? Anyone knows?
I don't think there was no plan for it. I mean, remember years ago, Mr. Bino from Bees Recycling bought the machine, the shred tires that were supposed to be going back to lay on the same road. I do not know what's happened to this machine, mm-hmm. but you know, that's a private individual. But what I my way of thinking is the government has sources or resources to collect revenue. Mm-hmm. If a tire, for example, after taxes have been paid on it, regular import duties and things like that, is $100, they could automatically add on the extra $4 on each tire for the disposal of it at that point of import. So they will be paid for it up front, rather than having small people or individuals try to collect this money to pay the government, which never really materializes. So if that $4 fee, as I say, which breaks down to about $1 a year per tire for use, is added on at the point of importation as some form of levy, then by all means, the government, because if the machine costs $500,000, you can do the math. You're collecting $120,000, $130,000 a month average for a machine that costs, it will pay back for itself. And then the same rubber that is generated can be sold as to persons. They can put it down on walk paths, sidewalks, put it to the construction industry. Mm-hmm.
Play parks. I don't know if we could hear back from Mr. Padmore, or he could message me, because I was just wondering what happens. Why are the tires there?
To get burnt.
Yeah, but then you end up. But if you burn them, it's polluting the air. No, obviously. Okay, I'm lost. We had a fire. We had a fire three days ago, and the tires burnt. Clearly, it was not a planned fire.
And it was not planned. Get rid of them. What easier?
Again,
I just shouldn't dark at that.
I just thought it was via probably spontaneous combustion, but again, I look at things.
I don't know what spontaneous combustion.
Well, I give people the benefit of the doubt until we see difference. So I assume it was via spontaneous combustion and it was being brought under control, because if you are burning something, which you shouldn't be burning it deliberately, one would think that methods would be put in place to control when it's a controlled fire. So
well,
I would like to think that it occurred by other means. But again, a question to those who would know, why are the tires transported to the dump? What happens, seeing that they're not biodegradable and do we recycle them? Does anybody have that machine that I referred to out of Russia, the ATR? What's it called? The ATR 300 tire recycling machine. And should we not look to invest in one? Because there's so many cars on the road.
One should have been ordered since yesterday.
So I'm hoping that someone calls me to say, well, Miss Haig or Joy, this is so-and-so from X company. This is what we have. This is what we do. And certainly, if they don't, and anyone listening, go and Google the ATR 300 tire recycling machine. It's now another business, because there are a lot of tires. I mean, those tire repair shops were
The issue with an individual or a private enterprise going into a venture like that will be getting paid for the recycling of the tires. That is why I said it would be better off in government hands, where government can implement that $4 levy per tire at the point of import, so they'll be guaranteed to be paid.
But wait, by the way, a question to you. Somebody said, which car tire lasts 4 years?
On average. I said on average.
Okay. Because they're saying certainly not on the roads in Barbados, they're saying.
I ain't going on that road with them, because I have agricultural equipment and I have vehicles that do a lot of mileage on them daily. And believe me, my tires, if they buy good quality tires or relatively good quality tires, you can get 4 years out of tires. If you buy second-grade tires, like a lot of cheap tires that sell for $100 a tire, mm-hmm. we prepare to change them every 12 to 14 months. That's the reality. Cheap thing no good thing no cheap. That's the analogy there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, well, again, as I said, if anyone knows about the recycling process of tires, if it's done here, someone is actually saying that they use theirs, they have two tires as plant pots. Now, I would have seen this at St. George Secondary School, and lovely white tires, painted white, and that's what they do there. And it's a good idea, but again, how many tires can you put in a space before you run out of space? Because they're quite exactly. bulky.
It will have the whole landscape of Barbados, like a stomper's junkyard, you know? It won't look too pretty.
Yeah, you can't do too many of that.
One of the suggestions, I got to run, but one of the suggestions to the Sanitation Service Authority is mm-hmm. perhaps instead of stockpiling all of these tires in one pile, that they should perhaps have multiple small piles, so in the event that a fire breaks out again, it is something that can be controlled rather than having one huge pile of tires. Maybe have a lot of different individual stockpiles that they can be controlled. Put them 100 feet apart or 200 feet apart. Mm-hmm. The reality matter is the dump is not going anywhere. The dump is going to remain at Vaucluse, Mangrove Pond, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of land up there that the public eye can't see down in the back that has been bulldozed off and things like that. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they should put these tires in individual smaller piles, and so in the event that they do have a fire, that they can control it.
Well, I agree with you here. And to those who are listening, Corporate Barbados, I am sure if you, people like Jose, Williams Industries, who do that type of work, recycling as well as paving roads, you may want to look at the ATR 300. And let's see if we can move from a direction of putting the tires then at the landfill, because no one has responded as yet via my WhatsApp or VOB's WhatsApp to say what actually happens to the tires and if we actually do burn them. And this is the second fire in maybe a year, because it's not every month they have one, I know that. But we've heard the stories of the tires burning. So question remains, how do we dispose of tires? Do we export them? Because it's bulky to export those tires, very bulky to export. You can't compact them like how you take metal and squeeze it in and so on and so forth. How do we do that? And if someone is looking into recycling tires in this country, possibly make some money and create some employment, I don't know what say you, but you seem to be very passionate about it. Maybe you should look into it.
If I had the resources, I would do it.
But don't say if you have this and yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The credit unions, et cetera, which, by the way, you know.
Credit unions don't want my house as mortgage.
Well, credit unions don't necessarily lend for businesses, but listen.
I got two small children. I have mortgage in my house. I got to make sure that when I shut my ears, that nobody can come
up. Why is it that when we mention things like businesses, and that's another conversation, but I'm assuming that you are a black Bajan man, right? And the first thing I said to you.
Very wrong.
Okay, you're not Bajan, and you are not of African-Caribbean descent. My apologies.
Very much Bajan, but my people was here before the black people and the white people. I got armor in the end blood. A little bit of white and a little bit of black.
All right, so you're of mixed origin. My apologies. So you're of mixed origin. Well, I'll be honest with you. Anything, any person, any human being that is mixed and black is in that equation, considered black. When Barack Obama won, the black people decided that he was theirs. If he had messed up, the white people...
We need to differentiate between black and colored. Colored means multiracial.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama, I would consider myself colored. I can't consider myself black. Mm-hmm. I can't consider myself...
But the black race would have still... So you separate the color, being colored versus, okay, well, fair enough.
I don't, to be honest with you, right?
Uh-huh.
If you look at me, you would say, oh, he's a white man. I'm married to a lovely black woman. Okay, I have mixed children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at color. I am a human.
Okay, well, I was just saying, we're going off track because I was just saying in terms of starting businesses and so on that black people, normally the first thing they would say is the resources and then I could understand that because when black people go to banks in general, financial institutions, they may have to produce everything, including the death birth certificates of their ancestors in order to get these loans. So I know it could be hard, but if you're talking about the color bit, where I would like to put in here for the Barack Obama and the Halle Berrys and those who have white and black parents, normally the black race would say that they belong to them. They call him the first black president. They didn't say the first colored president. Unfortunately, though, if he had messed up, then the black people were like, who voted for the half white guy? So it's kind of funny, really, truly, how you look at it. Black people, when you're successful, will own you. If you're not successful, they will disavow any knowledge of you. So, but I want to thank you. But you should look into it. And don't ever say that you don't have the resources. Never say never, because you never know what would happen. All right, but you seem to have a lot of knowledge and you're passionate about it. And that's why I think you should somewhat get yourself involved in that process. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon.
Right, how are you?
I'm well. I think you need to turn your radio off.
Right, I did that.
Okay.
I wanted to say to you, there was a spider up there at the dump, and I gone. Have a good day.
That there was a... Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm gone.
No. Repeat that again. I didn't hear you.
There was a shredder for shredding tires.
There was a shredder for shredding tires.
And I'm surprised that in there anymore.
Okay, wait. We're not asking you where it is. We're asking you what after the shredding process. Do you know if it was exported, if it was used for building materials?
I don't know. I used to go to the dump every day, and there was a shredder there working.
There was a shredder, but you don't... Okay, well, he doesn't want to. Well, thank you for that information. There was a shredder, so we shredded the tires, but he doesn't know anything else, so we don't want to assume. We're going to read some WhatsApps here quickly. Good afternoon, moderator. We read that one about the car tires 4 years. We are already paying a heavy road tax. Why impose more to get rid of our tires? One person here is writing. Is that man crazy? Whoever mentioned this, it was not that caller, by the way, they're referring to. I'm reading this, came through at 12:44. A disposal fee, doesn't he know about the environmental levy? We don't need more fees. We need to use the excess money gained from the fuel tax to purchase equipment that makes sense. Okay, I'm just going to get in a few more because there's a lot of them. People went back to the coronavirus. And in terms of let the people know that over 8,000 people die in the U.S. alone from the common flu and its complications. Let's start screening all tourists then. Okay, then this other person says here, they want us to look at the death statistics of the influenza, which I believe I have shared. Good morning. This is earlier on. I am a nurse working at the hospital, and most of my co-workers, we are scared of this virus. The QEH is not ready, in their opinion, and or will be ready for any kind of outbreak in this country. Normal bed space is very limited, as is right now. Supplies are scarce. Manpower is horrible, and I can go on and on. I am telling you for a fact that the first cases confirmed here will be here at the QEH, and it will be a ghost town because everyone is going to stay at home, and that will start from the heads down to the ground staff. Everyone will stay away. I have bought my supplies for my family because I am not bringing anything home for my family. I'd rather stay at the hospital until whatever happens. So that's an interesting one. This is one person who claims to be a nurse at the QEH, and she is concerned.